Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
So often the Christmas season becomes commercialized and rather overwhelming. For the next few moments, we invite you to join us with Dr. Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word as we turn our hearts towards the Christ of Christmas. Stay with us. So many things are fighting for our attention this time of year. There are family gatherings and church fellowships and time to shop and time to spend with friends. You know, there is one that deserves your utmost attention, your utmost worship. He is the center of it all, the Christ of Christmas. And today on Daily in the Word, we're going to focus on Jesus. He is more than the reason for the season. He is the beginning and the end, God in the flesh, the God-man, the Redeemer, the Heavenly King, sent to be our Savior. Welcome to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today, Dr. Chappell helps us to focus on Christmas. Before we join our message, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources to help you in your spiritual growth, and you'll find out more information about this program and this ministry, dailyintheword.org. Refer a friend to subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and daily devotional. You'll enjoy these resources, and so will someone that you love this season. All of it's to be found at dailyintheword.org. Today, we look at God's promise of a Savior. Here's Paul Chappell.
When we consider the promise of the Savior, we must realize this morning that this indeed is a miraculous promise. But notice secondly, as we look into the Scriptures even further, that it was a manifested promise. It was a manifested promise. Now, all of us have heard promises that never seem to manifest themselves, whether it be those who would predict the coming of Christ, and certainly no one's going to predict that. Jesus said that no man will know the day nor the hour when He would come. But some have falsely predicted the day when Christ would come. And then even we think of lesser important things, such as the weather predictions we always get. Have you ever noticed that earthly predictions seem to fail? And they never seem to manifest themselves in the way that people predict so often. And that's true in sports. That's true in other categories of life. But the great thing about the promise of the Savior is that this promise was manifested to mankind. Now, several things can be seen. First of all, this promise was manifested to Mary. And back in Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, we once again see this manifestation. Luke 1:30, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Here we see that this promise was manifested to Mary. And I believe today that you and I understand from the Scriptures that this promise of 750 years before Mary now is being made evident to her personally. And I believe it's important to realize that before Mary would ever have this promise manifested to her, before she would ever bring forth the Christ child, she first would conceive of Him in her heart and then she would conceive of him in her womb. And she had to believe the promise of the angel and receive and trust God's word on that account. And then God used her to bring forth the Christ child. So it was manifested, first of all, to Mary. Secondly, it was manifested to Joseph. And of course, Joseph, the Bible says in Matthew 1 and verse number 20, heard from the angel who said unto him, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife." And I suppose every one of us can have some empathy for Joseph. He was espoused to Mary. They were preparing for marriage. And they had waited and been pure in their life and godly. And now the news comes that his wife, as the Bible says, was great with child. And we think of Joseph. And we think how he was stunned. And in a moment of wonderment, the angel came to him and said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife." Joseph struggled at first. And sometimes Joseph in the Christmas story is the guy that might be the most misunderstood. I heard about a little 8-year-old recently who was showing a picture to his 4-year-old sister. And as he showed her the picture, he said, "Now right here, this is a picture of Mary. And this is a picture of baby Jesus." And they were looking at the picture of Mary and baby Jesus. And the 4-year-old said, "Where's Joseph?" And the 8-year-old thought about it for a minute and said, "He's taking the picture." And I guess that was pretty quick thinking. I don't know. But sometimes Joseph, he's kind of left out of the picture. But you know, it doesn't matter who you are this morning or whether you're noticed a lot or not. The fact is that God is manifesting himself to you through this very message this morning. And that God is manifesting a promise to you. And God manifested that promise to Mary. And God manifested that promise to Joseph. And frankly, God manifested that promise to the entire world. Because there is no book that has outsold the Bible. There is no message that has ever been preached like the message of Jesus Christ. And this message has been preached to the Jews and to the Gentiles for 2,000 years. He has been manifesting himself to the known world. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, "Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." You see, this message is not for a select few. This message is not for a particular denomination. This message is not for a particular nationality. This message of Jesus Christ is good news for everybody, everywhere. And we thank God for that. And I suppose a verse that really encapsulates what this is all about is a verse that we find in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Timothy 3:16. And I want you to think about this. Manifestation of Christ to the world. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh." And I want you to take note of those words. God was manifested in the flesh. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. What differentiates Christianity from the cults today? Well, one major differentiation is the fact that we believe this morning that this was God being manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ was the God-man. He was not a little God becoming a bigger God. He was not a prophet who would never be God. He was God before the worlds ever began. And so the Bible says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Now, thank God the Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. In other words, when God gives a promise, you can take it to the bank. When God gives a promise that his son is going to come, that Messiah is coming 750 years prior, though undoubtedly the scoffer said it will never happen, thank God it did happen. Thank God Jesus did come. And so we see that this was a miraculous promise. It was miraculous in its precision, yes. But we see also that it was a manifested promise. And that God, who had made this promise 750 years prior, manifested it unto Mary and unto Joseph. And as you study the scriptures, unto the entire world, this truth of the gospel has been preached. And we thank God for that wonderful fact even today. And so this was a miraculous promise. And this was a manifested promise. But then I want you to notice thirdly with me this morning that it was a meaningful promise. A meaningful promise. You know, a lot of people, they look at the Bible as some kind of an archaic, irrelevant document. They look at even the Christmas story as, how does that apply to me? And sometimes they fail to recognize that there is no more applicable, there is no more relevant truth than the truth of God's Word. We don't need this morning to try to bring it down to your level, because God brought it down to all of our level when He came to this earth. And when people talk about trying to get the gospel message down to earth, it's almost an insult to an almighty God who was born in a manger. My friends, how much more down to earth does God need to make it before some people will understand it? This is the most meaningful message the world has ever received. And I want you to see this meaningful promise. The Bible says in Matthew 1 and verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Now think about that phrase for a moment, "which being interpreted is." In other words, God says, I want you to know what this means. God says, I'm going to bring forth my son. I'm going to send forth a Savior, and he's going to be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is. In other words, he says, now I want you to know who he is. I want you to understand who he is. I want you to understand why he is coming. Which being interpreted is. And here we see in the Gospels that the name Emmanuel is a name that God wants us to understand and to comprehend. And so we see, first of all, that this promise is a promise that is meaningful in its interpretation. In its interpretation. Which being interpreted is. Now, some of you have perhaps traveled perhaps in an airport where you'll see the name of a particular destination in many different languages. I remember one time in Thailand, I saw signs and it had the flight and it had the airline and it was in German and it was in Thai and it was in Korean and it was in Japanese and it was in Vietnamese and then somewhere down there it was in English. Now, what was that all about? By the way, it was in Russian as well. What was that all about? It was all about interpreting so that people could understand. I mean, the airports want people to know which way to go for the right gate, for the right flight. God says, now I want you to understand. So his name is Emmanuel, but I want to interpret that for you. What does that mean? It means God with us. Sometimes it amazes me how so many religions and cults have started when God tried to make it so simple for us. I mean, he says, I want to interpret this for you. I want you to know who Jesus is. He is God with us. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And sometimes I suppose it's hard to understand interpretations. I remember right after Terry and I were first married, and I think we may have been maybe the last days of Bible college or just out of Bible college. And some friends gave us some free airline tickets to go to Hawaii and on Korean Airlines. We jumped on that airliner and we were so excited to go there. We didn't have one single penny hardly to spend, but we had the airline tickets to get over there. And we got some peanut butter and jelly. And boy, we ate gourmet lunches on that seashore, you know, and had a fun time together. But as we were on that airliner getting ready to take off, they began to make instructions over the PA system. And the man was of Korean descent and was having some trouble with his English and so forth. And so as he got on the loudspeaker, he said something like this, "Ladies and gentlemen, I repeat. And I guess about a half a dozen times as we traveled over to Hawaii, he would say that, I repeat. And as much as he would repeat, I was not understanding. And it was just very difficult to understand. I did make the mistake about halfway into the flight of speaking some Korean to him. He got so excited that I spoke Korean to him. He asked my wife to move over and sat down next to me. My wife will tell you the honest truth. He read to me the entire Los Angeles Times in English, just wanted me to help him with English, and I helped him with English for a while, and it was quite an exciting time. But the fact is that even when sometimes people try to interpret something, you don't get it here on this earth. But now God said, I want to send my son, and his name shall be Emmanuel, and I want to interpret this for you. And God doesn't say, I repeat. He says, God with us. I'm glad God makes it so even I can understand it. God with us. Being interpreted, God with us. He was God with us. Isaiah 43 says, there is no Savior but Jehovah. And we thank God that He is our Savior today. And in Christ, God's plan of Himself coming to be a Savior, yet preserving His character, was fulfilled. And you see, this is a meaningful interpretation that you and I can grasp a hold of today, that Jesus Christ, God's Son, loved us and that He died on the cross for our sins and that He came to manifest God to us and He came to be God before us. And Jesus Christ is our way of redemption. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And so we see that this is a meaningful interpretation. But then I want you to see with me this morning that it is not only meaningful in its interpretation, but also it is meaningful in its invitation. Meaningful in its invitation. Now, when we think about this term of Emmanuel, God with us, we're reminded of the fact that Jesus Christ, after He was born in that manger, the Bible says He grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. The Bible says that He was a perfect man. The Bible says He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet He was without sin. The Bible says that He suffered pain and agony and loss, and He wept when He had pain. The Bible says that He knew what it was to have friends turn on Him. He knew what it was to have people reject Him. He knew what it was to suffer ultimately the physical pain and agony of the cross. And you know, sometimes as Christians, our attitudes aren't always what they should be. And sometimes it's because we become convinced that nobody understands our trials and our difficulties, and certainly we're not belittling those. But I want to say something to you this morning if you're a Christ follower. While your wife or husband may not understand, and while your friends may not understand, there is one who always understands, and His name is Jesus Christ. And there's no reason to become so down and so low if you're a Christ follower, because you have one who understands. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In other words, every trial, every difficulty, every difficult feeling, you feel discriminated against, so did Jesus. He was discriminated against. He was not allowed into certain places. You feel like no one cares. You feel physical pain. What is it that you feel this morning? I want to encourage you. Take your eyes off of yourself for a moment and put your eyes to the cross and see Jesus for a moment and recognize that He felt all of those things. That's why Emmanuel, God with us, is meaningful in its interpretation, but it's even much more meaningful in its invitation. Its invitation. Because God with us says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, the promise of Christ is extended to us today. The promise of Christ is this: I love you and I died for you. And whosoever believeth on the name of the Son of God shall be saved. God sent forth His Son. Why? So that He would die for our sins, so that whoever would believe on Jesus Christ would be saved. That's the most meaningful invitation you can ever be given. Now, you may not get invited to your friend's party. You may not be invited to your relative's Christmas gathering. They may not want anything to do with you. But Jesus says, I want something to do with you. I want you to come, and I want you to receive Me. I want to give to you a home for all of eternity. But the fact of the matter is that there is somebody that likes you. In fact, He loves you with a love that we can't even put into words this morning. That the King of Kings, the eternally preexistent Son of God, would leave the streets of gold, would leave heaven's glory, and would be born in a manger, would be surrounded by stable animals, and that He would live on this world and in this difficult situation to say, I love you. That, my friends, is meaningful in its interpretation, and it is meaningful in its invitation. And God invites you this morning to receive His free gift, for the wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And eternal life this morning is not found in a Baptist church, and it's not found in a Catholic church, and it's not found in a mosque, and it's not found in a confessional booth. Eternal life is found in the person. Which person? God with us. This person. This God-man, Jesus Christ. An English post office clerk whose job was to handle inadequately addressed letters was at his desk on Christmas Eve. And one of his workers brought to him a package. His heart was very heavy this particular Christmas Eve, for his little son had died just days before. And as his co-worker bought the package and then several letters that were misaddressed, he was sitting there going through them. One letter he saw, like so many at that time of year, was addressed to Santa Claus at the North Pole. And he noticed on this particular letter that attached to the letter was the sending address. They, of course, couldn't send it to the North Pole, but they saw the sending addresses. And the postman, as he sat there grieving, looked at the return address, and he noticed that it was his own home address. And the clerk was startled because, noticing the address, he wondered, well, what is this about? Who's writing? And the writing, as he opened the letter, was that of his little girl. And his little girl wrote these words, "Dear Santa, we're very sad this year. My little brother went to heaven last week. You don't need to leave me anything. But if you could give Daddy something that would make him stop crying, I wish you would. I heard him say to Mommy that only eternity can cure him. Can you send him some of that?" You know, friends, this morning, only God can send some of eternity. And He did when He sent His Son. And the Bible says in 1 John 5:11, "He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life." Now, if you don't have that eternal life, in a moment we're going to give you an opportunity to receive it. And if you do have it, why don't you share it with someone who desperately needs it this year? He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. I'm saying that this promise is meaningful this morning in its invitation, because God with us says, "I invite you to come and to receive eternal life." Who will believe? Who will believe? Who will put their trust in Christ? Who will receive His invitation to come and to be saved? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Who will receive the gift of eternal life this morning? But who will be the ones who will say, "Christ, I put my hand out to receive your invitation, to receive you as my Savior today." And I encourage you, friend, if you've never done that, to receive Him and to know that this tremendous promise can be yours for the taking, if you by faith receive Jesus Christ today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the joy and the privilege of opening your word and studying these great and mighty promises. We thank you that this promise is a miraculous promise, very precise. We thank you that this promise today is a manifested promise, not something that we can just talk about, maybe it might happen, but it did happen. We thank you that you came. We thank you that it is a meaningful promise and that it means God with us. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that cannot say God is with them, I would ask you today that you would open up their hearts and that they would trust you as Savior. May they exercise their own free will to receive you today.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And from the entire staff at Daily in the Word and Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Christ-centered New Year. We sure hope that this season you'll truly make Jesus Christ the center of your Christmas and the center of your life. Before we close today's program, I invite you to consider the question, have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? We heard about that in this morning's message, and friend, it's as simple as making a faith decision to once and for all let go of whatever you're trusting for eternal salvation and to trust Christ alone. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, you could call right now. You could bow your head and heart, and in the privacy of your own life, invite Jesus Christ into your life as your one and only Savior once and for all. It's a simple decision, but it's a great decision. As you enjoy a busy but memory-filled holiday season, I want to encourage you to visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the link to the bookstore. You'll find not only some great resources to strengthen your own walk with Christ, you'll find a lot of wonderful gift ideas, books and resources for spiritual growth, the kinds of gifts that are Christ-centered, that are biblical, that will help those you love to strengthen their own faith over the Christmas season and well into the new year. All of these resources are found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org, and click on the link that says bookstore. Friend, you can contact us here at Daily in the Word. We love to hear from our listeners. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.